members of the public, good morning. The agenda for us for today includes the presentation on CEP and its subsidiaries, in particular Section A, SSF, and the hiving off of the exploration. Clean Fuel 2. I think we did have some discussion yesterday on this. And the building of the refinery, we did have a discussion on this yesterday. I don't know if the voice is rising. So something that would be new would be the repositioning of the Department of Energy. I know Honorable Mzimande did ask this question yesterday. So we intend to in the context of the mandate of the political leadership in terms to position in such a manner that the so because we continue, let's hand over to the minister again. To comment if there's anything, and then I'll immediately, because we've already dealt with the matter, so we're at the point when we're asking questions, if there's anything the minister wants to say before we start the questions, I'll give you the chance and then over to the honorable member. I suggest, as we were doing yesterday, because if I say something that concentrate on CEP and the growth of subsidiaries.
Not saying it's true. Firstly, I want to apologize officially to members of the committee for the chairperson of the Strategic Fuel Fund Board, Mr. Nevin Mopati. There was an emergency chair that arose at home. He had to attend to that situation at home late in the evening. That's how the situation arose. And then I permitted him to say he needs to go home and fix the problem as he's attending. Secondly, Chair, on apologies, the Director General, Acting Director General for the Department, Makubela, he will not be able to join us now because in the afternoon, Chair, I'm appearing with the Deputy Minister as part of the Economic Cluster accounting to the National Assembly, Chair. Well, on behalf of the Department, Chair, once again, we want to thank the engagements yesterday. They were not only about accounting, but the guidance you gave us. Because we are managing the portfolio on behalf of the people, and you as a representative of the people, I think we took a lot of other guidance and clarified issues. Because the main strategic issues were dealt with yesterday, I will not go in there, including the guidance and support that I spoke to Perpetua that, you know what, how do we, because the two fundamental issues we picked yesterday, is the capacity of the state to plan, implement, but also to do oversight. And we spoke about that one. And then the matter you threw yourself with in Perpet, the biggest fundamental issue of independent power producer, not renewable, independent power producer across the whole chain, vis-a-vis the public power producer, the ones that we're discussing informally now. And these are the matters that we should be able to have a firm policy position to say, in terms of combination, Chair, what is the percentage? Because we never made a decision around combination, but a position has been made in terms of the existence of both. I will not be able to go back to that. we took those are the main issues you raised. But on the remaining issues, Chair, just to reconfirm that one, the repositioning of the Central Energy Fund, I've advised yourself yesterday that it's a matter that has been to apply in the money. And it's very important that we do so in the light of this state-owned company reform, because cabinet is applied itself to say, what do we do? Secondly, it was the immediate issues, Chair. Remember the immediate issues we said, because that's the question that was asked. The immediate issue is to stabilize issues of governance and leadership. A governance that you have really members of the board that are permanent board members. But then there's a mixture of skills, because the era is more technical, but it also has issues around the politics, economy, and national security. There are timelines that we're looking at that at least the vacancies that are there must be filled. The other thing we also raised, but also you observed yourself, those who decided to go on the other side of the presentation, was the issues of the stability in administration. The stability in administration is mostly that you find that in most of these entities, people are acting. And when people are acting, even if they have the full delegated authority, but there's always some element of uncertainty. And it's a matter that we've committed ourselves to look at that we get men and women that are equal to the task to deal with those issues. Those were some of the immediate issues, but we also learned from your own observation as members of the committee yesterday when you were advising us, especially Honorable Comrade Matlala, around the question, how do we look like in terms of our transformation issues? It's always this cycle, just like it's a voice club, you know. It might say YMCA. And we can't have a YMCA. And we know that over the 23 years, we've produced many women of color, and they need to be given space in the city. We took that point home, Honorable Chair. And then the other issue that was raised that will give us time is the issue of the secondment of the DG of the department. You raised the matter. It's a matter that we need to appraise ourselves to say how best we handle it. But remember, when you look at it, you can't look at it outside the stabilization of the administration, because we are taking someone this side, Umusangane, and you create your own destabilization on the other side. That will also relate to what Honorable Comrade Perpetua said around the capacity of our own. Then there's a big issue, and I think it's just required so that we get to be engaged, we don't miss the point, so that we end up starting afresh what it will raise. The last two issues we also raised, there was this issue around our oil reserves. The oil security or the crude oil security. We know now it's a matter of record that there was a process that took place where the crude oil of more than 10 million barrels was taken out of the state through a particular process. That process, as we know, others they call it rotation, others they call it disposal. I don't know which name should I use at this point, because we must be guided in terms of whether the process, if it follows the laws or not. Then an investigation was done, and the investigation on record, it should have been finished last year, because it was supposed to be a short investigation. The service provider did to finalize the investigation, but the investigation was flawed in a sense that the service provider once said, had not actually spoken to people, that a finding is being made against them. And in terms of Administrative Justice Act and Body Compass, it poses a challenge. And when we thought that it poses a challenge, certain recommendations they made, that is to say go to court, get a declarative order, do an interdict, at the same time discuss this issue. But in the midst of everything, when we got the report with the deputy minister, later on the service provider claims a conflict of interest. In other words, they are throwing the whole investigation into disarray. We are at a stage where we say, what do we do? Someone took our money, does a funny job. After saying engineering, we are in a conflict of interest. And we will probably have to see what then becomes our recourse. And the investigation was twofold. There was a legal component, then there was the last component, which is the financial component. And we reminded you yesterday that KPMG did the report. But because of the issues around that are raised by South Africans around the credibility and integrity of KPMG, whether it's in South Africa and all over the world, we said for you to be able to use the report of KPMG, do a reliance audit. That's why PwC, a chair, was used. But then I alerted the leadership yesterday that whether they are legal matters or not, but the decision has to be made about the stock. Whether the people who took the stock, they proceed and gift or not gift. And that decision has to be made for two reasons. One is that, Chair, there is an issue that do we have sufficient one? If anything can happen, can we guarantee security of supply? The answer is no. But I'll not give you the details because some of that information is about national security, about what we have now. Unless there are people who, I don't know, it has other implications for national security producing. But then there's an issue about funds, I think the more you don't make a decision, the prices of crude is going up, and the reality that government is going to be in, especially not government, the people of South Africa are going to be in because of that incident. And the issue to see how do we minimize the losses. I thought these are the issues, Chair, that in the second part of our discussion, let's remind each other where we are, but what are the requests of the community. Then there might be other issues, because members, we can't say you can't ask this because you said you must prepare on this. And I have the team here, I'm supported by the CM, completely team, and the chairperson of service here, and chairperson of several states. And, everybody's acting, you know, because Hollywood is acting CEO on all sides. But I've spoken about the intention of stabilization of government and administration. Those are the things that, Comrade Chair, I thought we should be able to just remind each other. Thank you very much.
have been there before. We understand what the firework. So, so this would, process would be finalized. The question that has arisen, what are the implications of the having more?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the honorable members of the House. Chair, mine, I think, is a big bite, man, because really, the minister has indicated in terms of the time that he needs to stabilize the check in terms of the processes and progressing by noting that SERF has the minister for in terms of the SERF that is a key mandate that needs to contribute and the security of the NH. So I wanted to check in terms of timeline. When is the minister going to come back and make his mind in terms of the and also checking in terms of the structure. Because the minister indicated that there are challenges. So all the entities, that's my question.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just on the CEF restructuring, we understand that it started in 2013, so that was 4 years ago. Can the minister just tell us what has been the hold-up? Why is the restructuring process taking so long? And on that, Minister Kubayi said in June 2017 that a company had been appointed or was being appointed to address restructuring. Can the minister tell us, has the company been appointed? What is the name of the company and what is the company's terms of reference? Then on the Rosgeo gas agreement, there was a story in the Sunday Times on the 17th of September, and I think this is an opportunity for the minister to be on the record and deal with some of the rumours that have been circulating around this particular deal, because the story reported that he travelled to Russia again with Jason McKenzie and Kenny Kunene, and that he introduced them to the Rosgeo CEO, Roman Panov. Can you tell us whether this in fact did happen, whether he accompanied these two individuals on this trip and introduced them to the CEO of this company? And can you tell us whether he has any knowledge that Mr. McKenzie or Mr. Kunene have any role in this deal whatsoever? And then on the strategic oil reserves, we understand the difficulty that the minister finds himself in with the flawed report, and as he points out, there were issues of natural justice that were not followed. Has this matter then been referred to the law enforcement agencies like the Hawks or the police to deal with? Why is it being left up to a private company when this surely seems to be something that should be investigated by a public body? And then also on the strategic oil reserves, we know that the former minister, Tina Jumat-Peterson, denied that that the sale of these reserves took place. Then when Minister Kubayi came in, she said that they did in fact take place, so there was a conflict between the two ministers. Now, we know that the one constant in this was the deputy minister, who is here with us today. So can she tell us, was there a sale? Did she know about it? If she didn't know about it, why didn't she know about it as the deputy minister? And if she did know about it, what did she do to stop it? Thanks.
I think we must thank you, Chair, and the members. I think there's something fundamental that I think, Professor, you raised it in passing. Is this thing called the home of state companies in government? And it's a decision that we probably need to conclude. Because sometimes they get to be assigned for various reasons, for various ministries. The question around the African exploration, I did get a briefing check. I know that there were intentions, especially to take the assets to the Department of Minerals. And that decision ultimately has not been implemented. But I know that there was definitely a move, including paperwork. But the implications for it were going to be very big. Because, in other words, for the work that is done by the sector, our own entities, we are having something that I would call it an asset, that you can be able to utilize so that you can be able to go out, secure investment and do other things. And immediately that instrument that was available and it becomes not available there, there are issues. But who would want that that matter probably early next day in the first quarter check? We come and look it broadly because one of the issues that yourself we are raising is this issue about the mix. But the issue is bigger than the mix. Do we can say certainly how much do we have? And the question around, because remember the mineral resources or the mineral endowments, in the main, the custodian of the people is the Ministry of Mineral Resources. And can we be able to say as South Africa without any doubt, how much coal do we know that we have? And if we burn the coal at the rate we burn it, how long is that coal going to be there? For how many generations? We must also ask the question in terms of uranium and the others check. How much do we actually have? And in the current system and technology, over how many years can it last? Because this is more about natural resource planning, because we know it's not going to last. It's the same thing that when you speak about African exploration, is one of the things that when Honorable Professor spoke yesterday, are we sure in terms of our knowledge system as a country? Or probably 90% correct that we know how much we have and the possibility of further exploration. In my other life, we used to have a problem on what you call it, Comrade Honorable Chair. They used to call it, do you know our water resource endowment? When you have taken rain, you have taken all these other things into account. And we look like to be struggling. Other countries are a little bit more advanced because then you can start to answer the question without uncertainty to say, if you use it, over what period, what are the things you do, in as much as you'll be changing. And I do agree that it's a discussion that should proceed. But it will also depend on the question on how far have we gone in terms of our own capacity to generate knowledge for ourselves in terms of research and development. Because if you don't have research and development, that's why it was funny for me when I went with the team to attend what we call Africa Oil Week. All the people who presented about the African continent endowments, they were the people from Africa. That's why yesterday I was using a figurative to say someone can come and tell you that your wife is pregnant, whether it's going to be twins or triplets. Someone can come to your house and tell you that your children are hungry or how much they've eaten. And this is what we actually have to work on if Africa, and South Africa in particular, we can be able to have something that we can call it our own sovereignty.
of the department of capacity. We are looking at it from a knowledge point of view, systems point of view, and it's a discussion we have. The issue around the raised by Honorable Mian, I'm going to request that at this point, I don't want us to make a decision why we are running. I've requested to say I have to apply my mind. Whether there is a company there or no company, I still have to receive the report. I'm just dealing with the immediate issues. Remember, the portfolio is very broad. There are issues that probably we need to agree ourselves. That probably when we do the schedule of the portfolio committee, what are the issues that we just want to concentrate in over a period and be able to sufficiently deal with it? As I've said, I've not been appraised about whether there's a carbon or not. My immediate issue is to deal with the question to say stabilize administration governance. That's my preoccupation at this stage. That's where I am. And if I get further briefing from them, we should be able to move. Even if there's a company, it's not going to move unless the minister says, you know what, now I'm properly briefed because I must apply my mind. Therefore, I think I will request that in the first quarter next year, let's discuss the entities. And I will say to you that the first time in terms of my interaction with yourselves, I came in when they were actually presenting annual reports. And the others, they are in good shape. Others do raise issues. And our request that when it comes to entities, they give us that particular screen. The issue around the roster deal, Honorable David, I'm one person who don't respond to stories I don't create. You forgive me. I've responded to these issues in the week. But I would hate to come to a portfolio committee and speak about media articles. That's not my style. Probably just to assist you again, the information that has been briefed now in the department, I know that the processes in terms of exploration and so forth and the right approvals were given by the relevant authorities, which is the most important issue, Chair. These ones of people trying to behave like they are behaving like in my other life, following people. I'm on record to say I've been to Russia, I've been to all parts of the world, and I told the country that Russian people are serious people. They are very serious about government. You can't go to Kremlin, Honorable David, people don't know how Kremlin works. You don't even go with people who are not working in your own. You don't go with people who don't work in government. And if there are people who plan stories, let them finish a story. Let them finish a story. I've been to Kremlin. I'm one of those who have been fortunate. I've been to Kremlin, and I've been there with the leadership. No one just actually gets into Kremlin. Unless one day we need to teach how was the Russian Revolution. The Communist Party was actually looking at the Russian Revolution that happened many years ago. And it's a matter that you can discuss. But this thing of trying to create an impression of people who have more powers as if they make decisions. Let's account on plans, let's account on processes. Therefore, the report says right decisions will be. Well, I've also been to many capitals. It's not the only capital. Probably this one, you like it. I do like it too. There's nothing wrong. But I'm not going to speak about articles. The issue around the oil reserve, I think we should be able to say government is taking action. And I've been upfront to you and say there are challenges in the action that has been taken by government. In the middle of the action, as we've said, the company that was doing the work has not done a good job. What do I do? In other words, we need to be able to engage in another exercise that will stand the test of time in terms of our legality. yesterday I shared with you to say the company, something very funny, Chair, that happened. You know, when they do the report, they submit a report, they give a 5-page application. Imagine, I'm a former chairperson of an audit committee of 10 years, chairing an audit committee for 10 years, external audit. I've never seen an audit report 5 pages at this case. And we think something is normal. When now we are ready to make a decision, they even make a recommendation. Go to this, do the following steps. But the report says, you know what, you can't use my report. Where is this thing of being cogent and rational? Then all of a sudden, we are told they have a conflict of interest. That company should be brought to book, check. It should be brought to book because they are governed by certain legislation. It can't. We have instructed the board of SEF, where SEF have recourse to. Let them get people to conclude the work, so that we can be able to say where there was wrongdoing, people must be brought to book. That is our position. At this stage, we will not run to the law enforcement agencies, because remember, we are finding a process that is already there. When the report comes and say there is some criminality or breach of our laws or undue influence and benefit, which is bordering to prevention of corrupt activities and other legislation, who will say it to it? Because remember, you can't use a private company to make a decision. But then the report, the final report can make you to take 2 steps or 3 steps. 1 step, those who are internally in the system, in terms of your own disciplinary code, you can actually discipline them. That's what the report should be used for. Then the second component is to say, if there are any illegalities in terms of the South African laws, then the law enforcement agencies will kick in and will never be able to hide. We'll take South Africans into confidence like we've taken them to say, where are we on the net? The issue of trying to say, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said this, I don't need help the engagement to be correct. You have not punished me to say so-and-so said with this and this. I don't want to speculate. I don't speculate. I'm more evidence-based. I don't speak on his things. At this point, I can't say what Comrade Tina said and Comrade Kensani said. But what I know is that there's a matter there. It has to be investigated. Action has to be taken. And if there are those people who have attitudes to say, let's speculate, I'm not going to be venturing into speculation because I don't want to mislead honorable members. But when something is put in here, I verify that this is indeed the person. I can formulate an opinion. The question to say whether the DM knew or not, that's an unfair question. It's not about her. It's about an organization. It's about an organization. Let's not selectively try to break the team. I'm here, I'm leading the delegation. And when we agree with Comrade DM to say there are matters she will respond to, she will respond. But don't actually try to plant a cat amongst the pigeons. I will not agree. That is more opportunistic. Let's deal with the matter, let's not deal with individuals. Let's play the ball. Play the ball. Because you wanted to actually plunge us into organizational dynamics. The position of the department, not of an individual. Any investigation that is credible must be concluded. And on the basis of the outcome of the investigation, actions have to be taken. We will not actually hesitate to take it. The last part, Comrade Honorable Chair, as I've said, a decision has to be made about the stock on the basis of energy security and supply. Thank you, Chair.
Something that
But there's been an endless discussion about restructuring. So that's what is the problem. When we have this restructuring, we need to conclude it so that it's the same thing, we know what's happening. It's fine. So that's what we have to do. How could we restructure the something but you need to bring the issue to a conclusion? That's what I say. And happy, so I'm showing the that are more concrete with regard to the work that we're saying we're doing to produce some bad people. Of course, the most difficult thing is that it can challenge the balance sheet of the truth and whether it's a sustainable process. So we need clarity there to see if this, does this company have a future and how is this going to happen. So that thing has got to be here. So the thing that we've been calling with petrol is turnaround. Lots of discussions with regard to how we're going to resolve it. You make time to go see those workers there. You met with them. I think they are very good professionals. They have very good ideas about cost. So in the course of your consultation, you have to go to. On the road, your contract. I'm not a honorable David, I'm sure you will follow up. I'm not so much interested in you. I'm interested in the issue of the contract. So what is the strategic importance of the contract? So if you can explain that, what is the contract and what are the intentions of the contract and what is the process? You can clarify the issues of who is involved. And so African exploration. So you'll still come back to us. I can let me just say this on behalf of the committee that from the discussions we've had, we think this is not a good idea, or put differently, we think this is the right idea. Honorable David.
Thank you very much.
Followed by Honorable Mr. So,
the minister comes from a portfolio where people work in the shadows and there's secrecy. But he's in a new portfolio now where transparency and accountability is demanded. Now, I've asked two questions which require very simple answers, but he doesn't seem to want to take the opportunity to answer them to clear the air. And if he doesn't do so, then the rumours will persist and we will continue to have certain suspicions. So this is your opportunity, Minister, to put these rumours to bed and to squash them. Did you travel to Russia with Gayton McKenzie and Kenny Kunene to meet the CEO of Rostio? Just answer the question. It's a very simple yes or no. If you didn't do that, then just say no, and then the rumours will be ended. So it's very easy for you to do it, and I urge you to take that opportunity to do it today, because if you don't, people will continue to that did happen and that those two individuals are involved in a corrupt deal. Then secondly and similarly, I asked the Deputy Minister, who is sitting right next to you, I didn't ask you about whether she knew about the sale of strategic oil reserves. I asked her. You weren't there, you were in a different portfolio. So you can't speak for her and cover up for her. This is not the portfolio of cover ups. We need transparency. So I'm going to put the question again.
Can I read the stage of voice I checked?
Sure, I'm still busy with my question.
Can I read the stage of voice? There is a rule on how a member should refer to another member. It's Rule 84. To use the word of a cover-up, we are customing a special administrative of the member. And I request that you intervene
can withdraw and apologize. You know there's nothing wrong that you can raise matters, but you can't actually stoop aside the rules that have been set. The word cover up is an act of commission, and without actually being present here. Thank you.
Former ministers who were here in the department, can you rule on that?
And then there's an insistence of behaving in a particular way. I was just coming on that. We are not scared to debate matters. But if you become personal outside the rules, we are going to make our engagement difficult. We don't want to start on a wrong footing. We'll answer any question. Now this one I was raising in terms of respecting the presiding officer.
Thank you.
know what this can be. So I don't want to be coming to the work in the house and then start putting out group. You know the things we feel in the house. And we want to cause distraction to the house. Honorable David, please don't do it. I didn't ask you to withdraw what you said. With the hope that you understood the kind of thing. And then you go ahead and repeat it. So, I'm calling on me to tell you to withdraw the cover after that. You know what you said. So, if you do that, and then continue to. Please, don't know the thing about cover. If you disagree with what you've been saying, you must come back and say that you don't believe what you've been saying. But don't cast aspersions that other members are covering up. Please do that. It's the first time I have had to encounter this in this comment. Please don't do it.
Thanks, Chair. I must say, it's the first time I've encountered this in a committee as well, where ministers invoke rules of the National Assembly. But in the interest of peace, and in the interest of getting answers from the ministry, including the Deputy Minister, I will withdraw. And, Chairperson, I want to thank you, because you've said that the Deputy Minister must answer the question. So we're looking forward to hearing her answer, and I'd rather hear her answer than get embroiled in a discussion around the procedures of this committee and of the House. So we look forward to the Deputy Minister's answer. Did she know about the strategic oil reserves, or did she not? Thank you.
I'm very disturbed that the work they are doing actually is very pedestrian. It's not because the people who are there are pedestrian, don't misunderstand the issue. They are doing very good work given the resources that they have, you know, and so on. But they are a pittance. Maybe if we are in this mood of identifying future areas of further engagement or maybe work that needs to be done. I would suggest that this is one. Let me just try and motivate a bit. This actually is a reflection of a broader problem in South African society that I can't record it now, but the percentage of GDP that we spend on research and innovation is shameful. I now realize the centrality of research, development, and innovation in this area of energy. Now, I know that we are in a difficult situation, but I think it's one area that the department needs to prioritize and not be treated as a site. You know, by way of example, Chen, Sasol used to be the single largest employer of PhDs in South Africa. When Sasol initially got privatized and then we allowed to go and list in London and New York, it had actually embarked on the single largest ever investment in the history of the US economy. and so also goes our PhDs. This is just by way of illustration of that we've even been further weakened by the fact that that's what is going on. This area of energy actually requires, suddenly they've identified the issue. The issue of clean coal, for example, which is something that is very important. I know suddenly doesn't do the work directly they use in the Department of Science and Technology institutions as well as universities. But what at some stage maybe the chair would like maybe the department to help us. I don't know, are there university chairs in this critical area? And professors who are devoting themselves to assist us to understand these areas. Because also that helps to. Also, one would like to have an idea of what kind of research is happening inside the entities. You will understand this is obviously my area of interest, Chair. I want to declare that. Or research done not necessarily inside the entities, but sponsored or supported by entities, even if it's done by universities or outside of other research institutions, and so on. This is a very important matter for me, that I think that if we could highlight it, and at some stage we could come back also to have a discussion. Because one of the things we might have to look at is how to mobilize funding for crucial research, both in the public and the private sector, in a creative way, in order to do this. I'm convinced we are very weak in planning, largely because of this. If we don't do this, we can't really properly plan in this area of energy. Not only unique to it, but it's true, the minister is right. You know, we can't really be able to play the good course. Very big investment into this. I want to suggest, Chair, that we take this area seriously, all of us. But I must just say as I end, between 1994 and 1999, I was a backbencher. When I came back in 2009, I have not been a backbencher. But what I realize now is that one of the complaints we had at that time was that as parliamentarians, we had virtually no research support. There's an improvement now, but we are still far from what actually our parliamentarians parliamentarian. Because we simply know when the minister is speaking or a CEO of a state entity. Because we are not informed. We can't be able to have an engagement that is deep. But that's our own problem. I'm worried that that situation, much as there is an improvement, there isn't much change, which ourselves might actually want to be into. If we are to also be able to strengthen the state in this area, generally. I hope I'm not out of order. Thank you.
Themselves say that the Perhaps I can and just start with a general, you know, discussion around something pretty. There are many new faces in the committee, and the membership of our committee is changing, and obviously we, as a committee, have had three ministers in 3 years. So significant turnover. But Chair, one of the great strengths of this committee has always been the incredibly robust nature in which we have engaged with the executive from the side of the committee. And the deputy minister can confirm from the current minister that this interaction has always been well regulated by the chair, but it has been intensely robust. Both previous ministers actively engaged as robustly with this committee as the committee engaged with them, and we would like to see this sort of participation continue, and it's not helpful when the executive comes to committee and invoke all sorts of rules. You know, I think it's important to recognize that as members of the committee, as long as our intentions are correct and we're trying to hold the executive account, the executive has a responsibility to be held accountable. And it does not instill confidence in the parliamentary process when the executive tries to hide behind rules like they do in the House. It's not helpful. And Chair, I very much hope that under your leadership, the committee will continue to be as robust as it has been to this point. Chair, on that, I'd like to point out that of the 55 questions that we've submitted to the Department of Energy over the last 2 years, in regard to questions specifically on nuclear, we've received answers to probably about less than half of those, and in most cases where information was highly pertinent, we were referred to the prior application process. So when the Honourable Davis talks about the potential of a cover-up, he's not speaking from no basis. He speaks from the point of view of the fact that the department itself is very bad at actually responding to requests from this committee, from members, in terms of the point of what.
On what basis?
I'm raising a point of order. No, thanks, Chair. It's on the same room. We have made a room, Chair. And if honorable members who belong to the DA want to degenerate on this matter, they can't say when they are actually out of order and order can't be raised. We have assisted us, we have made a room. And this inclination to go back on that path, and on the basis of candid and robust discussion, that we're not scared of it, and people go that route. I'm raising it because I will not be silent. The honorable member, if he wants to ask a question, and when a ruling has been made by the chair, unless the ruling gets to be appealed. Thank you.
Perhaps I can clarify, I did use the word potential. I did not say a cover-up, I said the potential of, which is a very different, significant point of view that I'm trying to raise here, that there is something in the language. And the point is, I'm not accusing the minister of a cover-up, I'm not accusing anyone of a cover-up. I'm saying there's the potential for a perception of something to occur. So the minister should maybe, before he invokes the rules, maybe listen to what he's actually been said. Chair, with regard to the actual subject matter that the minister has come to address today, and maybe this has been addressed, and I just want to clarify. We are well aware that there, a deal between PetroSeo and Rosgio has been signed. Can the minister confirm if he was present at the signing of the agreement? And also, just can he distinguish for us the distinction, or make the distinction between whether this is a framework agreement or if this agreement binds the state in terms of...
You see, Chair. The questions that the Honourable Mr. McKay is raising, these are the questions that he has raised yesterday. After he had raised those questions, he left. So the minister responded on those questions. And the way in which Mr. McKay is actually treating us is like we are cheap.
he comes as he wishes, he asks questions to relevant authorities, he leaves. This is the culture that is actually doing. It's not for the first time. All the ministers who were in the department, he was just behaving like he's behaving now. So this thing here, you must call Honorable McKay to order, because he's continuously doing this thing. It's unbecoming. It's undermining the authority of this department. So can you rule on that, chair? Or unless on our chair, you don't have to rule on that, can you apply the rules, the ones that you are also applying in the National Assembly? They do apply in the committees. If people are out of order, chuck them out of the committee meetings. Apply them. Thank you very much. Of the minister has met with the Russians. The issue, the other question of teachers from the Honorable Mr. David, the Minister of Trade and Culture, is actually doing the same thing. So the minister has answered such questions yesterday. So this is a repeat of the same question. You will ask the minister, in 10 minutes' time, he will get out of this meeting. And the minister will have to answer. You hear my point? I do truly want to find out of order.
We have to be very careful.
Okay, now I'm listening.
No. I remember the question. Questions, remember your broader questions with regard to the reshuffling and meetings with the Russians. So that's the set of questions that I'm asking. Now they are asking a question with regard to a post-geo contract. So that's a where the meeting in the run-up to the bishop. So that was if we were right, I would go to how that is. Now we started dealing with the issue. So I can't do it.
Finish now. Thank you, Jay. Just for a point of clarity, I've not asked the minister any questions about any meetings with any Russians. Michelle must be confusing me with my colleague, Mr. Davis. I only spoke specifically yesterday on nuclear in the committee, and the chair also has indicated that I had to attend sittings of the House in which I was speaking. So Mr. Michelle should be ruled out of order for raising the point of order to the city. Chair, with regards to the Rossi Geo contract, you should apologize that he's completely incorrect.
No, but he doesn't have to apologize.
Well, then he is incorrect.
The order
is completely incorrect.
I'm trying to apologize for being incorrect. So it is incorrect. If it is incorrect, you can't ask me for it. And that is in violation of the rules. So,
maybe just focus on the question on what's your question.
Please, but don't do that. You see, the thing of you returning to another Matala, you know it's going to respond to you. You really now bothering on disrupting the meeting. Can you please focus on the question? We want to make this session absolutely unproductive.
Thank you, Chair. So the question is regarding the Rosgeo agreement that has been signed with PetroSA. What did not be provided to the committee clarity on the type of the nature of the agreement? We know from public press releases that an agreement was signed. We have confirmation from the Central Energy Fund chairman in the committee meeting that this deal was in fact signed. What we are, however, not clear on as a committee is whether this is in fact a framework agreement, i.e. a cooperation agreement in which the final negotiations will continue, or if it's a binding agreement that therefore results in a liability on the state in terms of contingent liability because it binds us to purchase gas from the agreement at a certain rate. And Chair, I read from a report that was circulated to by the board of Petro SA, and which has come into my purview. And I remind everyone in the committee that I'm protected under the Rules and Privileges Act to read this document before anyone gets too excited. Chair, the report states simply, and I'm quoting, "The above table clearly shows the disparity between Rosgio's expectations of a reasonable gas price compared to what Petro is able to afford for new gas. It is also evident that the Rosgio gas price formula is totally oil price dependent and does not take into account the gas to liquid operating model or the rand dollar exchange rate. The last observation with respect to Rosgio's gas price formula is that it yields a similar gas price per energy unit to Petro SA at higher delivery rates, i.e. the 3x3 operating model, at a $90 oil price and higher. Petro SA explains that the gas price that Rosgio were able to Petro SA explains that the gas price that we are able to offer has to be within the company's affordability range, else the deal will erode value for Petro SA. Now, Chair, this is obviously hugely significant because we have now signed an agreement. The Russians are asking us for a price that we cannot afford, and we already know that Petro SA has a contingent liability of over 10 billion rand and an operating loss of 7.6 billion rand. So I want the Minister to clarify how exactly we've signed a deal that will essentially bankrupt what is a fundamentally important state-owned entity under his purview. And in terms of this agreement now, the framework agreement that has been signed, can the Minister explain to us how we are going to negotiate a price with the Russians that makes sure that Petro SA can afford and does not erode value of Petro SA? Because as we know, Chair, Petro SA is a growing concern issue as raised by the Auditor General. We know if Petro SA goes, the Central Energy Fund goes. Fundamentally, Chair, you know, we're talking about the restructuring of the Central Energy Fund while signing deals with the Russians that are not in our favour with regard to Petro SA. So can the Minister please clarify the situation for us so we might understand what the long-term, because Chair, Petro SA will come back next year, tell us they have a new turnaround strategy, but fundamentally, the basic principle of in paying too much for the gas means no matter what turnaround strategy they employ, they are not going to survive in the short term or the medium term or the long term, which is obviously problematic. Chair, could the Minister also, we've asked this question before, but it is the new Minister. We are, as a committee, I think we've expressed, all members of the committee have expressed concern at the high level of number of acting boards, specifically with regard to the Central Energy Fund and the subsidiaries. And we would just like some clarity around when, if these boards will be made permanent. We are concerned that they cannot operate effectively with the constant threat of knowing that they can be dismissed. So if the boards are in place, they've been selected, will the Minister commit to making these boards permanent so that they can get on with their work and that they can be held accountable by Parliament and as is required? Chair, just as regards to the strategic fuel fund, and I know again that you did deal with this yesterday, and I apologise if I was not in the committee table to the answer, but the situation with the actual who holds our oil, I just wanted to clarify, Chair, because I'm receiving follow-up questions. There was information we received to say that there was a secondary interdict put in place by the Central Energy Fund, by the Board of Central Energy Fund, specifically to make sure that the strategic fuel stocks could not be lifted during the week of early November, when apparently there was a move by the new owners of the oil to lift the oil. The Minister has indicated he has very limited space in which he can communicate on this in terms of the court process, but Chair, we just, as South Africa, we just want to know, is the oil still in our tanks? Will it stay in our tank until it's sufficiently resolved? And is there a long-term plan around replacing the fuel stocks should the court action or the department side of the court action be different? Noting, Chair, that there is there was a draft line item in the MTSP which indicated that next year's budget might include a significant line item for a recapitalization of the strategic fuel stock. Which would seem to suggest that the state does not believe that it has a very strong case in keeping our oil. And obviously, Chair, we cannot operate as a country without at least some buffer in this regard. And it's just, considering the Minister's background in state security, he might have a specific concern about making sure that we have a strategic fuel stock in place that we can allow should there be an oil shock. Thank you.
Honourable
Mr. Mann,
so maybe I missed something. What document was Honourable Mackay quoting? Is it just... Can we just get clarity?
dossier called New Ventures Upstream, a progress update on Block 9 and 11A farm out.
I think the venture, we should be able to get that. Inside here is a copy of the board's minutes, the document of the board. Right? You know what, but when he actually started before reading this, he said it's in his possession, a document of the well-fund board, and he started reading on it. And now when he's responding to who Honorable Mr. now, the version is becoming slightly different. But when you're going to give us the time to respond to the decision of the board, we're going to deal with this matter. But I'm just saying that now he's giving you an abridged version of the introduction of his thing. You can check if you have recordings what he said initially. But I did write it down copiously what is this document.
I thought that he
will tell you to say what is this document. In my former life, I'm trained to listen and observe. Check the record. What did you say when you introduced?
Okay, that's not that of my card. And I'll go back to another one.
Sorry, Honourable Chair, the Minister had actually misled the committee. Did I state that I got a document from the Strategic Fuel Fund board meeting, which is completely and patently untrue? You can check the recordings, and I actually would like you to check the recordings so you can indicate to the Minister that despite his wonderful skill sets in listening and whatever he just claimed, that is actually not what I said. And Chair, in terms of the Rules and Privileges Act, I don't have to give any more information about the document I'm in possession of or how I'm in the possession of it. They can verify the veracity of the document as the department, and they can actually, if they want to check the quality of what I've actually had to say, but it's quoted and it's accurate. So I remind the Minister of my powers and privileges under the Act. Thank you.
I know that. That's exactly what I'm trying to avoid. Because I knew you didn't have difficulty telling us what document you read from. But as soon as you had an attitude, then the people are going to go, we deserve our rights in terms of the rules. And then we have a difficulty having a meeting. Please don't do this, Honourable Member. I just don't understand. You are right, you're asking the right questions. Can you ask the questions? Stop being personal. Stop saying things about other honorable members. Just ask questions. Honorable Fa.
No, thank you, Chair. I wanted to correct Honorable Matanga, not to deny what he said, because I also heard that it was the board, the meeting of the board, the president of the net. Don't interact with me because I'm talking. Please don't degenerate me. Why would you say he's protected by the privileges and immunity if what he said is untrue? Because if you said I'm protected by the privileges of parliament, so you must not deny. You must be bold enough to say I have an inner document of the board, of the must be bold enough to have to say what he owes, what information he's getting, wherever he's getting that information. You must be denied that.
You do have to look at the chat. I paused because I didn't hear. I didn't quite hear it. So it's an important message. Mm-hmm. I do want to follow. Deputy Minister, I'll come back on a run to one day too. But I didn't understand when you asked me the question. I'll come back. Deputy Minister.
Chairperson. I think it's really unfortunate when the portfolio committee becomes a terrain for cheap politics. We have had endless discussions about a number of these issues. issues, including the issue of the sale or the rotation of the strategic growth fund. At the time that this happened, I was absent from this committee and from work for a month and a half. I was nowhere near. This has been stated, but because there is a particular narrative that the DA wants to perpetuate, then they throw these things here and expect one to then come out and begin to say certain things so that you are defensive and then it becomes a soap opera. I really am not here for a soap opera. So I will not be getting into those issues. And I think you need to understand, when you say executive authority, what it actually means, because when the minister has made a determination, that determination is made. Tembi Majola does not sign off on any of those issues. So in terms of what discussions I had or didn't have with the minister, I don't think that's for this committee. What we need to do is to say these are the issues and this is what has happened. Let us not get personal around this issue. It's not the first time this comes up. Honorable Mackay has raised these kind of issues where it's almost a divide and rule, and I really do not want to come down to that level. I don't think it's necessary. I really think it's unhealthy. The second aspect that I think also is becoming a trend in this committee, which is really unfortunate as well, is that members then bring these pieces of information that they pick up to come again to push a particular narrative instead of assisting in developing entities and the energy sector for the good of this country. They are actually pulling it down. These entities are expected to compete like any other in this market in South Africa. But you undress them here, then tomorrow you're the same ones who are going to condemn them because they have not done their work. You have a discussion that's going on about what is the best price, how do we deal with issues, and you decide to come and put it out here. Then tomorrow you'll be wondering why we can't make progress on certain things. I think we need to have a discussion around some of these things and say, what is it, how far do we go in a discussion in a public and open forum, and what is it that we do not put out there? Because there's one thing called transparency, but when you make that transparency being naked, and then you say to that entity that go out there and compete like anybody else, you put out all the records for public consumption, and then you say go and compete with entities that do not have to go through the same process. I actually think it's very, very unfortunate. Thank you, Chair.
Alright, so before we call you in the COVID has been started, I want us to continue on this and I hope that that's no question. It's no particular question because the particular question about the role of the executive because the thing she's explaining about the role of the executive authority. Secondly, before that, on around the bar, not having a nice morning, I thought we were resting off the discussion of yesterday. I don't understand. We can't be going backwards and forwards. You know the reason we put this thing up here? Partly because there's a new minister working with the executive, but because this thing has been on our agenda. Put them up, we'll agree that we have set aside time, have a comprehensive discussion so that there is clarity with regard to each of these things as to their status and what are the steps going forward. Now, on the strategic well store, we've had this discussion, lots of discussion. The issue that now arises is, remember you said there's an investigation, you might be going to court. The issue about we don't have a strategic stock in the hands of the state now. So what do we do? So that's really where we want to understand. I
Are you finding finality around this issue? So I thought that's why these matters are here. But the other issues of the past, that means that this, we have been through that, honorable member. Please, we're trying to find a way forward with regard to these issues that we have highlighted. Okay. We raised the issue of the IGPs. There's been lots of concern around this and that, this new finalized. And all we wanted to understand is this matter being finalized. And then the minister comes here yesterday, says, I'm working on the matter, I'm finalizing it. We can pass it. We'll come back to him and say, you said to us you're finalizing this matter. Why is it still pending? So we deal with SEP, we deal with the rest of the things. We want to make progress. So I think it's not very helpful now when you degenerate into this kind of discussion. Because if we want to do that, in a normal meeting with the committee, maybe we can go back to this. The reason we picked this particular one and we call them strategic, it is because they are important to the success of the portfolio. So when we thought that the members are going to ask questions to show that the clarity and the committee is clear what the intentions of government are, so that at the level of implementation we can hold them responsible and accountable. But now we can degenerate into something that doesn't help us. Please, honorable members. That's not good. Anna Zeman, let me, what did you hear? Why are we asking this question?
I may have missed the part that the minister is referring to. That's why I asked. I think I was confused also by Honorable Mackay saying he's protected by privileges, you know, and so on. And then he's quoting from this document. By the way, I asked one question about the quote. Also, to me, it sounded like the quote is not fact. It's analysis of a quote about the issues that he's talking about. So I wasn't sure whether this is media or it's a minute from somewhere, you know, and so on. That's the second reason why I was asking, which I didn't state, just that I wanted clarity. Where is this document from? Because I hadn't properly heard where it is.
So let's not talk about the previous slide. So you always want to understand the story. What are you reading from here? No, all right. Having said that, Minister, can we respond to the specific question?
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. I'm not actually thinking, Chairperson, the man you're trying to ask me. And probably, as we go along, we'll agree what then becomes our rules of engagement. Because we are one team South Africa. And I'm happy the way we are clarifying it because, you know, I don't want to raise temperatures. There is no question we'll never answer. But remember, we also read and we know what we're doing. That's why I said energy is a national matter for all of us. Throw away politics, concentrate on a matter that affects millions and millions of our people. And Chair, I said energy as an economic element, it offers national security element that you're referring to the other issue. But I know as a kid and as a leader that it has also political dynamics. On the issues that have been raised by Honorable Mackay, is unfortunate because there are other commitments. But some of the issues that he's asking right now, these are the issues I answered in the morning when I was doing a recap. But on the process issue, Chair. I don't know how we have been working, but I can't be accused that I was trained and I led the Minister of State Security. It should be used as a tablet. It's a skill that I've been exposed to, and thanks to the ANC. On the issue of the document, our preference check, if a member of parliament refers to a document, he wants us to have an engagement. Circulate the document so that all of us who are having a document who are reading on the same page. Then I can answer you.
It's just being fair. It's being decent. How do I answer you on a document that we have not circulated? Let alone the issue that Honorable Pepeto are asking, what is the source? And I'm happy that the Secretary knows that you look at it. Because even in his statement, even before he went too far, he was quick to invoke the privileges. And he knows that because we're trained, we're going to ask this question. Therefore, the status of a document that one has not been disclosed, has not been circulated, is not a fair way to respond. I just want to be decent on that one, so that I can be able to concentrate on the matter. But the Secretary, just check it so that we don't operate in a manner that you throw a curveball. You throw a curveball, we're going to respond. But for the decency of members, the public that is here, let's get a copy of the document. The issue around the 55 questions not responded to. I think if there are questions that the department has not responded to, we will respond because it's an obligation that we respond. But I'm not aware of 55 questions where only less than half has not been responded. In the last cabinet meeting last week, Chair, there is always an item called parliamentary affairs. It's led by the leader of government business, His Excellency Deputy President Comrade Ramaphosa. They always list that members of the executive, these are the questions we have not answered, whether they belong to NCOP, whether they belong to the National Assembly. There is even an age analysis that is for how long, but there's also the size, with how many have not been responded to. The Department of Energy in that report, the question we have not responded to as of last week, either from the National Assembly or whether from the NCOP chair, the number, if I'm not mistaken, is 9. It's less than 10. And I've given clear instruction to the administration, to the DG, let's respond. But to create an impression that out of 55 questions, so many have not been responded. If they are there that they have not been responded, let the Secretariat or the processes that we do, either oral or written questions, let's follow them, we'll answer them. Because I don't want to be in the bad book that executive doesn't account. But let's not throw things that are not there. The issues around the board, that's the matter I stated about Comrade Chen. I said we're stabilizing governance and leadership. I've responded to that. The issue that I raised by Honorable Davis, you will forgive me. We are speaking about newspaper articles as your source. I will request that also find time to use the same newspaper articles to go and find my answer there, because it's not material. Go and check my answer in a detailed interview with City Press. Don't use my source. Go and find time to go and check the Justice Fact. I responded on the Justice Fact, because you want to use articles, go there, and you'll find them in podcasts. Go and check CNBC Africa, the closing bell. Go to 702, go to Power FM. I had an interview of more than an hour, because at least you have an interest to follow statements about ministers. I've responded to those. But let's deal with issues. The roster deal that has been there, the first thing I have checked is that there was a signing of a framework agreement on the sidelines of the BRICS summit on the 4th of September 2017. Then the final contract will be concluded by the end of this year, 2017, and the deal is subject to Section 54 and Section 11 approvals. Then there's also a requirement in our own law in terms of petroleum agents of South Africa that requires that there has to be diversification in terms of empowerment for, of the production rights. And this has not been concluded. And the other issues that have been raised. That's our response on that. Chairperson, the other issues around the entities, as I've said, I don't want to speculate. You asked that with your summer. Early next year, we're coming back to the discussion under your guidance. You've given us the issues, we're very glad, including the concerns about whether Petrol SA is operating at a level where in reality it can become a real oil company for South Africa. You remember yesterday when we made a presentation, remember that in between a group called South African Petroleum Industry Association, and you could see when you actually were doing the assessment about the refinery capacity, the networks, and all these other things, they are not actually where they are supposed to be. And I agree, in terms of their corporate plan, let's come and be able to share with you what is the corporate plan saying, how are we going to actually deal with in terms of the turnaround, and more importantly, there is a balance sheet that doesn't look okay. And we have to be able to present the corporate plan, because it's only the corporate plan that you can hold them accountable, including myself as an executing authority. I can hold them on the basis of that. Then they have told me that they finalized the corporate plan. They want to come and do a presentation to the minister. They have not done the presentation to the minister. I agree with that, but I'm very happy with it. The restructuring, I think you have given guidance yourself, Chair, will give us the restructuring roadmap and the other issue that needs to be taken forward. We will come and account on that one. The entities, I think this is sufficient. Rather than to say you turn to three, when in reality you must be able to say what is the strategic imperative. And it's very interesting that a comrade interpreter has assisted. You know that thing is so fundamental and we need to support. It's so refreshing. It's so refreshing because if this country can have its own sovereignty, whether on the basis of information, on the basis of technology, and all these other issues, if we don't have the cutting edge in terms of skill check, you know, for an example, what Honorable Commercial Secretary said, it was the biggest loss, those South Africans in the Navy. When that decision was made, it was made because of various reasons at the time. But when we lost that big engine, we lost the capacity because Sasol, during difficult times, had to find a way to adapt. It had to find a way. You know, it's like a country, a chair that is a country, especially those in the Middle East and the desert. You know, they find a way to adapt. Yesterday, I was speaking about issues of skills, especially on the question of news. I said, one of the things as a country, you can't afford, when you're the brightest people, you don't know what happened to them. Those people, they become a national asset. They don't only become a national asset, if you don't know where they are, they become a national security threat. Those who have studied history about one fascist called Hitler, when he started to do his shenanigans, he lost the best scientists. They landed in another country, the story is history. Even if the apartheid government was a devil's government, but if there were men and women irrespective of their kind, I would love to know what happened to those scientists that were able to make those capacities around weapon of mass destruction. It's very important that we have to know where they are. They still prepared to come back home? It's a right thing to do. It's like if you work in a security environment, a spook retires, and you don't know what happened to the spook. It's like someone, even if you arrest someone, there are people who get arrested, but their crimes are more of national security issues. Let's say you arrest someone who has actually committed serious financial crime, who's the biggest hacker in the world. And as a state, you don't know that this person, after being released, you can't release this person without knowing where is this person and how to utilize the person. This is where I always say, let's teach each other the dynamics of life, politics, economy, security, and it's very important to balance the three. I agree. And there's been a lot of issues. The SANEDI, why was it formed, etc., we agree, is not performing at the level it can. And ours to be able to assist that it becomes a real institute. I agree. And how it does collaboration with CSIR, other universities. And it's very exciting. You know, it would be so exciting. Very exciting. And would want to actually tell from your expertise as members of the committee, just building energy security of our country, but also the knowledge systems, including the issues of technology, because ultimately, from technology point of view, they need to certify that this is the right technology that must be put in for our environment. I do agree that even if it's a matter of your committee chair, the one around research, and research is very important. We don't have to be experts, but the researchers, they make us more knowledgeable. You know, even the people who are reporting in the media, sometimes there are no people who are energy experts. It's only few and of a particular inclination. Even sometimes the people who actually inform the nation, it's important that they, to the department, will find a way to have sessions with them. Sessions orientate them in that. So that when they report, they are reporting not in a slanted way. They are reporting in an informed way. I've even seen that mostly our issue that gets to be reported, they are reporting always, if you check the news, it's mostly people, business part of news. As if energy is only one-sided, it's only economic, it's broader than that. And I think the mobilization of society, having the right information being there, including actually bringing up young people around, what does this sector mean? And to me, it's a breath of fresh air. There is a convergence of our aspiration that beyond our political inclination and fixation, we can be able to actually take ourselves out from our fixation just for national interest and say energy is an important issue for our people. And I'm very interested, and we need to be able to draw from those expertise. But as a policy position chair, even ourselves, even your researchers, just find a way to say how they get to be assisted with the department without influencing them. But it's very important because we are the repository of energy information. I think the other issues are around the strategic fuel fund and the stock. Well responded, Chair. Unfortunately, Honorable Michael came late. Will be able to assist him over a cup of coffee. Thank you. Remember, the stock was taken by the owners in terms of the contract is there. The stock is in our storage facility, but it does not mean it's our stock. There are issues like we've responded in the past, and the others not going to change. second one, Chair, Mr. McKay probably needs to assist the House if he knows of a secondary interdict who has instituted it, in which court has the matter been placed on their own, then I can respond, because I don't want to respond and then start to be told that I'm responding incorrectly. But we have not instituted one ourselves, unless he knows of something. But the difficulty is when people come to give an incomplete story or an incomplete version, you want to be responded. If the full fact, if there's a secondary interdict, there's a court, which court, what is the reference number, who are the applicants, and who are the defendants, then I'll be able to do that. But on record, the entities that are reporting to me around this matter, they have not actually gone to seek an interdict.
Chair, thank you for pursuing the specific issue of the question. Chair, if I may offer just a point of clarity on the issue that I'm asking about. A gentle reminder to the Minister that parliamentarians, our job is to ask questions for clarity. We don't have the full information, that's why we ask questions. And the question related to, has there been or is there an intention to issue a secondary interdict? Is because the situation, the Minister indicated, has changed. It's currently, the Department can't talk about it because it's currently facing a legal challenge, and I'm asking for information around that situation. So I'm saying, in terms of where the process is at, will there be an intention to seek a secondary interdict to hold on to our oil, or are we supporting the lifting of our oil? We're just wanting to understand that process and anything around it. So perhaps the Minister, you know, could consider the questions that we're asking are really for clarity and for information purposes. So assume that we have all the facts, we don't. That's why we ask questions in the Member of Parliament. That's why we're entitled to do so. So I redirect the question to the Minister with utmost respect, but I'm asking for clarity on the situation, and so that's why I ask the question, because I don't have the answer. Chair, specifically, I was also asking specifically around the question around the possession of the stock is not as important as knowing what is going to replace it. Are we going to replace it? How are we going to replace it? Will something be coming up in the budget next year? I indicated that we have had informal discussions, or informal people have indicated to us, also from the MTSP conversation, that there might be a line item in next year's budget that will look specifically at replacing the fuel stocks. So I've asked the Minister specifically, within the process, if the stock is going to be lifted, how are we going to replace the stock? When will we replace the stock? Because obviously it's of strategic importance to the country to know that we have stock or some level of stock. And in terms of legislation, we are required to have 20 days coverage. So we are currently, as far as I'm aware, in violation of that legislation because we don't have coverage. So those are where the questions come from. They're not malicious. There's no weird intent. They're purely asking the Minister to explain from his knowledge information to this committee. And I remind the Minister that that is our role and function.
No, those are not. I now understand the question.
I'm not sure. I was just reminding you of my request. That's all.
Hello. The minister said the same thing yesterday. Just to say, it's 12 o'clock. I want to check, are there any further questions? On your behalf, Honorable Martala,
yes.
No, thanks, Chair. I'm happy the manner that we've received the follow-up question from Honorable McKay. It's helpful. But probably, as we say, we know each other going forward. In future, when you don't have the full information, say so. Because the information created, you had the reference to a date. If information is not complete, therefore I have an incomplete information, then we can know how to respond to you, because we are very careful to listen. last one, Chair, I've responded to say one. Oh, well, the last one that I needed to say, Chair. The problem that we have, because remember, in the energy sector, there's too much influencing, and it's happening for the second time. Honorable Matei yesterday was saying certain people were asking. Remember, the public representative is okay. But it's better when people are doing this to improve our methods of work. Refer them to the department. What's happening with this issue, Chair? One, we are finalizing the investigation, as I've said. That's the position of the department. It must be finalized urgently. Number two, the KPMG report, which is the financial part, the reliance audit has been finalized. We are going to be looking at it. Then the team of SEF working with SSF, they must, as a matter of agency, solve the legal part. There's the legal part. Remember this report, you can't rely on it. So that we can bring those who might have actually done a commission or an omission in terms of their responsibility to book. That's what we'll do. And I've been guided by yourself, depending on the outcome of the report, if it needs the law enforcement agencies, they will come in. Then there is this big issue that Shepard yourself you've referred to earlier on when I started. The issue about the stock. The stock, as you are aware, in terms of the contract has not been set aside. It belongs to those people who took it. And the money is in our account. I actually even responded either in the end to that the money is with us. But the reality is that if a decision is not being made by the minister, whether it should be me, supported by the deputy minister, quickly, even if there are legal issues, the more we don't make the decision, the value of crude is changing all the time. Then there's a hedging component. Then on the other side, there's actually the actual one. In reality, even in the discussion with the traders, we have to be able to say, do you lift and how much can you lift? But you also have the national security issue. How much stock can we be able to buy back? At what cost? Do you buy it back from these people or what? That is an issue that is being discussed now. And I don't want to critique the discussion. Let's allow them to finish. But then there is an issue to say, I can tell you now, there has to be a replacement of stock or rotation of stock. And in the manner in which this matter has taken so long, we are going to lose money. Whatever direction we take, we're going to lose money. And the question is to say, how far can we be able to try to reduce the negative impact to ourselves? And I don't have those details because it's a subject of negotiation. Very difficult. You know, I don't want you to preempt the question, what is our next step? The next step, let's allow, there's a very good will amongst the traders ourselves to negotiate. Very good will, that is the thing. But remember, we are negotiating with people that they reserve their rights. There are things that I would want to share with you, but I can't share because if people they exercise their rights, some of those things are going to actually, from a risk management point of view, expose the state. And I'm told that the negotiations, they are coming towards finality, that is there. That's why I'm saying over a cup of coffee, we'll discuss with my case. Honorable Matei, will do, because I know one of the difficulties. The difficulty around the intention. We can actually, when I can actually have a private discussion, intention, which is our most speculative. Because, you know, these people, when they speak to everybody, hey, man, what is the minister thinking? What is this thinking? This is the same discussion about the renewable. What is he thinking? Remember, I hold the signet. And when I hold the signet, it must be cogent. It must pass the test of cogent. It must also pass the test of rationality. But then decisions, when they are being made, you should be able to say, no, I should be able to fall through my sweat. And the information on our disposal, Honorable McKay, we should be able to close it. But what happened actually did put the state in a bad position. and we are going to pay in one way or the other. Thank you. So he said that will answer that question. So I have indicated that we have long indicated that we wanted to have public hearings. At one point we wanted to go ahead with the public hearings, and then we stopped when we thought, well, there's no discussion happening in the society about this, so there's no point going to public. But it is quite clear. Remember, he kept insisting that there will be an expansion. What is the scale and the space and so on? And let us have a discussion. It's on the table. So it means now we have got to go there for the discussion about the public hearing. So that we're going to have to present for. We work with the parliamentary staff to prepare. With regard to energy costs, there's a difficult discussion there. We haven't got deeper into that. But something clear to all of us, and I understand the complexities with regard to the solar product. But there's something that's clear to us, that we're going to have to do something with energy costs, especially the price of the electricity. If we are to alleviate the pain by households, and if we are to lower the cost of doing business. If on the demand was here, we didn't like this. There wasn't the cost of doing business. You want the cost of lower the cost of living, not of doing business. So we've got to return to that issue because of its important relationship with economic growth. So we've got to have to come back to that discussion and hopefully have ESCOM present when we do that. With regard to the IPP, we heard you well, and we'll hold you to a word on this one. So you said to us yesterday, by the first, and done because
we check it renewables.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I know the distinction you're making. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Now let me be clear.
Grid window 3.5 and grid window 4 of renewables. Okay. Only that. So that's what it is. Okay, because the you're not talking about the coal and the, you know, that's
what I have.
So I think that is incredible. So we, with regard to Seth and the rest of the subsidiaries, and we're happy that we now are talking about something that very early in this community members have been pushing. But is this a national oil interest? And if it's not, can it be designated as such, and so that it can be supported to ensure that it plays that role? You must not be half-hearted. So we hear you saying that. So that's a matter that we will take both to turn to. Self restructuring and the rest of those ones. And we have heard us what you say about IP ball. So when we come back next quarter, so you will tell us what determination you have made in this discussion. So there were many questions about strategic withdrawal. Honorable Makai, all honorable members, you know what our attitude has been here. That first, when we comply with the requirements, that has got to be a particular level of strategic stock available to the country. So there's something out that now becoming clear, and I'm not sure if it's going to be in the next going to be a line item in the next budget, and how that is going to be financed and so on. But from all available information, it's going to come at a loss to the state. It's quite clear. So it's an issue that we're going to have to be clear about. And then, so when a decision is made, it's going to be what is more strategic for the state and for the public in relation to that. So, but some decision has got to be made. And then when a rational decision has been made, we will get a report to that question. The building of a refinery, I heard that the minister said that well, we're considering options, but our strategic approach is that it is necessary to build refining capacity. The DOT, we didn't have a lot of discussion, but we'll come back. There have been issues there. You know, the issues now we're raising not just positions, but knowledge management. So the filling of the 4 DPE codes, so we're going to come back. Clearly that process is not complete, so we'll come back. Of course, the next day, so we can dissection that. The same stuff. So that brings us to a close, I think, honorable member. So I don't want to. There's a request here that I have some intention. Sometimes he makes some members of the committee very unhappy, like one of my part. I just hope you will not say that you will not miss him. So, before I close, I'm advised by the committee set up to that
Another my car is going somewhere where we don't know. Oh, but I must say that I got a tip off from the ANC group. But I suppose that's the wife of the not from your previous life. It's not a previous, it's life until you retire to the grave. Oh, yes. You don't retire to the grave. Oh, yeah. I've guessed that. So, but you must know that. Honorable Davis, please don't bring that into the community. So you, Honorable Davis, so that's not a that continue. Unfortunately, it's going to be expressing itself. Honorable Papu, after Honorable Papu.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. On behalf of the ALC, I just want to wish Honorable Makaya, all the best. Wherever he's going in his new endeavors. And we wish we well. We're going to miss him as a community. We wish him all the best. Thank you.
Before you speak, can you just make sure that Honorable Davis doesn't fight with us? I've had a difficult day today because of this. So tell him you mustn't do that. You are a difficult committee member, but he didn't do what he was doing. That thing can, lead me to paralysis. So I just look and think, so what do I do with this honorable man? And all my talents think, shut him out of the meeting. I don't have the bumpers.
Chair, thank you for the opportunity to thank the committee for the opportunity to serve with the colleagues for the last 3 years. We definitely do not agree on everything, obviously, otherwise we'd not be in the opposition. But I do want to thank the committee members for a strong sense of collegiality and friendship. I think we've worked well together. We have got each other under the hot of the collars a few times, but generally I'm grateful for the people that I've served with. Having been a first-term member of Parliament, I was grateful for the support and guidance that was provided by yourself, as well as by the members of the committee. And I wish the committee every luck and in the work that they have to do. The portfolio is complicated. If we get it wrong, the people of our country will suffer. Energy poverty is a real issue we have to address. And Chair, also, disability for Zambia to be internationally competitive will ride largely on whether we get this energy pricing thing right. And fundamentally, Chair, if we get it right as a committee, we get it right on behalf of the country. And I kind of believe that the skill sets are in this committee can achieve that. So I hope that our committee members will be critical but loyal to the country in terms of the work that they do, especially in the big issues we have to discuss. But Chair, also I'd like to personally send a great thank you to you. I think you are a accommodation to your party. We do not agree, but you apply fairness and equity in the way that you manage these committee meetings, and Chair, that is a great credit to you and to our institution of Parliament. And I strongly believe that you are a strong representation of what is good about our Parliament, and I thank you for having put up with me for the last 3 years and being very difficult, etc., etc. And obviously, I don't know the new minister, so I just want to extend to the deputy minister my great thanks for our sparring matches over the last 3 years. You'll be glad to hear that I have got my ANC top that you very much like. I'll be wearing it at functions. I'll think of you. But Chair, just again, a big thank you to the committee and my best wishes for the work that you guys have to do going forward. Thank you very much.
We had, but I'm told in my other life, he's a very good champion. For in time. Because no one says those are kind of things. It does more about issues of real concern about affordability and environment, but then there are those who say, who gets it? I'll find time to have a chat of COVID before it disappears and cultivate him to be an energy champion, because energy is for all of us. And then it would be a champion for nuclear, but in a manner that it would be expanded in a responsible way. But on behalf of ourselves as a department chair, we must just thank that you called us and gave us an opportunity to deal with the big issue. After the engagement and all the inputs, they are very valuable. They make us much, much better. We sharpen our soul. And the manner you guided the proceedings, chair, will come at every point to come and account to the nation through yourselves. But our accounting must also assist us to make us a better instrument in the hands of our people to secure our energy supply for this generation and future generations. But instrument will be on behalf of the team. We enjoyed the engagement. It's a very valuable lesson. Everyone looking forward to future engagements to make them productive. We thought this could be those ways on behalf of the department and the entities before you adjourn our session. Thank you.
Thanks very much. There are things you told me on our Makai, so now you know where to go. The Honourable Minister will help. Thanks very much. Honourable members, Minister, team, the Minister will come to the end of the meeting. Parliamentary staff, we can go to other work now. I know, I didn't say that it is not a farewell. Doing farewell speeches next week. There's something that the week there that might change things. I hope nothing changes. Next week, Minister, let me know the light of the murder. So we're supposed to have a follow-up discussion on the issue that the Inter Minister has come to us with now. I've been told that some progress has been made, but it hasn't been quite much. So we're having a meeting next week on the 28th, and that meeting would require corporate development and public enterprise to assess Salga and the rest of the world. In particular, the department that we need to make sure that the proper coordination is so hopefully it will go ahead next week, and I hope with nothing changes with regards to parliamentary problems. At this point, the time is half past, so then the meeting can attend, and thanks very much for sitting here yesterday. Thank you.